Enjoy this chilly day. It'll be one of four we have this fall and winter, I'm sure. And one of 4 days I can wear the wool coat. Before we begin, since we last met, another South Carolina public safety officer has lost his life in the line of duty. Greenville County Deputy Conley Jumper died serving in the line of duty in a tragic accident. May we observe a moment of silence, please? Amen. We appreciate what y'all do for us every day, Chief, and we do not take that for granted. Item number two is approval of the minutes from the October 5th, 2020 meeting. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Item three is public comments. If you have a public comment to make, please come forward, name and address in 2 minutes. Anyone here to speak for public comments? All right. Seeing none, we will move to item number four, police matters, employee years of service recognition. Chief.
Well, Mayor and committee members, thank you for those kind words, and again, thank you for our support. Appreciate the ones of y'all that can make it out for the boat christening. If you wanted the opportunity to come ride on the boat or check it out, we'd love to have you. That's an open invitation. Thank Councilman Rambo Attest. He had a fun, good time out on the boat and enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Ms. Landy's still here or not, but I know she was on there riding as well. But thank y'all very much. I do have the honor of recognizing two of our employees for 5 years of service. And I'm going to start with Detective Stephanie Buono. Would you come forward for me? Whenever we do the picture, you're welcome to take that off if you want, or you can draw a smile. Detective Wanda is celebrating her 5 years of service with us, as with all of our employees. They go through a very rigorous background process to even get a job here, to get started with us, go through training, police academy, and then we always ask them to select a career path. I think from the beginning, Detective Wanda has wanted to be a detective in this agency and put the time in, put the effort in, taking the extra training that was available to her. And when the spots came open for detective office, interviewed, and there's always quite a few folks that want to get into that office. And she was selected to be a detective. And this is great work, investing cases, making our victims whole, and getting the criminals off the street. So I want to thank you for your 5 years of service, and I look forward to many more with you. Congratulations. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You got it. Thank you, ma'am. My next is Officer Rao. Come on up for me. If you're walking on or off, whenever you're ready, it's up to you. Again, we have the honor of recognizing Officer Rao for 5 years of service with the town of Mount Pleasant. He's no exception to the rules here where you apply, go through a very strict and rigorous background check, and take advantage of all the training you can. Again, with the career paths, as they excel through patrol, they're asked to select the career path, and traffic, I believe, was yours. You've worked very hard to gain that knowledge and training, expertise, and then like with our other specialized units, there's always several folks that are putting in for there. You put in for it, you were selected, and he's one of our traffic officers. And I forgot to recognize Detective Bono, and I do you at the same time. They're both members of our SWAT team, which is very difficult to get on, but both of them are members of our SWAT team and have served us very well in some tactical situations and dangerous situations we've had to be involved in. But I want to thank you for your 5 years,
sir,
and all the hard work you put in and the training you take advantage of and how you serve our citizens. Nice work.
Thanks, sir.
Mayor, that's all I have for now. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Item number five is judicial matters, introduction of our new court administrator.
We have 4B.
Oh, I'm sorry. Consideration of and possible action with regard to a memorandum of understanding from Atlanta to Carolina's high-intensity drug trafficking area. Thank you. I'm sorry, I just went right past it.
Sir, I'd be glad to speak with you.
Please do.
Sir, just very briefly. This MOU is with, as you said, with HIDA. It's a memorandum of intent to establish an agreement with the HIDA folks. They have an office right here in Charleston. We have the APLR, or the automatic license plate readers, and with us getting an MOU with them, we'll be able to access their software, their databases. It'll enhance the equipment that the town's already purchased that our officers are using on the street as we're fighting the working with them on the drug issues that we have, obviously, with the opioids and other issues that we have. But this allows us to connect with them.
Okay.
We'd ask you to approve that.
Any questions? Do we have a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion, and we have a second.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Chief. And now, I was so excited, let's get to the introduction of our new court administrator.
Well, Mr. Mayor, members of committee, good morning. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor for me. You already know this, but formally, in person, to introduce to you Lori Wilson, who is our new court administrator. You know, she's been serving us 11 years, served in the deputy role, knows the inner workings of the department, knows our standard, and she's going to do an excellent job for us. At the same time, Ms. Lavisa, if you'd stand. Ms. Lavisa is leaving us at the end of this month after 32 years.
Wow.
So we're in very good hands. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. I want to thank you for this incredible opportunity. Thank you, Mayor, committee, and other council members that are here for your support. I mean, it means so much. And then, of course, to Ms. Lavisa for all her leadership and guidance through these years. I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for her. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and congratulations to
you.
We were thrilled when we got the news last month. And I just want to say to both of you that I go places and I hear from attorneys, I hear from our judges how well our municipal court is run, and you set the standard high, and Lavisa, you have a lot to be proud of. We are both happy and sad at the same time, and you know what I mean. And you've got a great program to keep going, and you're part of that, so it's so good. So thank you.
Wonderful, thank you.
Great. Did you want to make a speech, Lavisa? You can. You've earned it.
I just want to thank you, Eric, committee, council members, for all the confidence and support that I have received over the years. It's been wonderful. So it is with bittersweetness that I was on, retired.
Thank you very much. Item 5B is the announcement of judge vacancies.
Yes, so as you're aware, there will be two judge vacancies at the end of this year. Judge Jeffy, after all the years with the town, has decided not to apply for reappointment. Judge Thurman is coming up finishing his first two-year term and has decided to seek reappointment. Also, there have been a lot of interest in filling these vacancies, so I look forward to working with the mayor's office to coordinate date and time to for all of you to schedule the interviews for the prospective applicants.
Great. And y'all will see that in executive session, we will discuss those applications and the process forward. So we will get to that. Thank you.
Okay,
look forward
you.
To doing that. Item number 6, as we move right along, I think we move faster the colder it is in this room, the faster council works.
Unintentional.
Right.
Hey, if it works, stick with it. Discussion of enforcement provisions related to short-term rentals, and I do believe I saw, if I read correctly, y'all also have those on the Planning and Development Committee meeting, and Jeff, I will turn this over to y'all. We've talked about several things. I do want to mention, and Chief, I know the police got involved. We had an incident not too long ago that was scary for some neighbors, And I think, Chief, you went out there, somebody went out there, police escorted the owners. The owners were notified that there was some very suspicious activity, and fortunately, the owners were very responsive, absentee owners, to their neighbors. I think they were accompanied by our police. But short-term rentals can, by and large, most folks are law-abiding and do a great job. Sometimes we end up with a situation that is a little bit scary. So if we continue, we took this up last month, and we carried some things forward about penalties and consequences for not complying with our law. So, Jeff?
Yes, Mayor, thank you. And good morning to all the committee members. We've been working with Mr. Pagliarini and planning staff, following up on the presentations and discussions we've had up until now. And we want to just run you through a couple of angles that we've been working on, and that these would lead to ordinance changes that would have to go through the public hearing process. So what we wanted to do is split it out with folks who are operating within the system. First piece, so they've applied, received a short-term rental permit that's been coordinated with business licenses, and we've taken care of all of the necessary steps to issue a permit. Currently, the ordinance, and I believe we pretty much used a sample ordinance or other ordinances from other jurisdictions, and not having enforcement experience with this particular topic, it's gotten us to this point, but we would agree that we could improve that. And so currently we have these sort of series of graduated penalties. Terminology is a little awkward sometimes. We talk about violations, but effectively it was sort of you accrue a number of violations. First step would be that we'd have the ability to revoke a business license, and then later on we could actually revoke the short-term rental permit, and then somebody can't apply for another year. So some of the issues with that, and it's points that we heard from both committees that we've presented this to, wondering if the penalty system is a bit too lenient. We, again, haven't really defined what the violation is. We did have an online meeting with our judges and municipal court staff, and trying to get a handle and understanding what it's like when they're the recipients of a ticket that we might issue, and the kinds of the aspects that we need to make sure we cover. So we've been working and understanding a little bit better what we can do on the planning and the legal side in order to be able to give them the right information should they need to move forward with a violation. And everybody was suggesting that we need to go quicker and not give as many strikes, if you will, for somebody. So that's part of what we're looking at. So what we propose for this aspect is create better language and eliminate the violation language, deal with it as a warning, and properly define offenses. So we've got issues with noise, garbage cans that are left out, and some of that was, again, sort of boilerplate language that we've included in the ordinance, but we think we can make it better. We would issue a warning letter for each offense, and then they would be allowed two official warnings in a one-year period. And the third offense, we skip the business license revocation and we go straight to the short-term rental permit revocation. And then, again, revocation of that permit causes somebody not to be able to apply for a one-year period. And what we'd be able to do is, like under other zoning provisions, if somebody is aggrieved, we might issue warnings and or revoke the permit. They always have the avenue of appealing that to the Board of Zoning Appeals. So they may want to, you know, have a case that says we believe the town took these actions inappropriately, and so you have the ability to exhaust that process before we might get into the legal system. So that's the kind of some changes that we could make in the ordinance to tighten that up and give staff and our enforcement folks the ability to process these and move with these faster.
So, good morning, Mayor, members of the committee. The idea, and after speaking with our judges, that they have, as you can understand, significant concerns about notice. Are people properly being brought into court? And essentially, the ordinance as written was making this a legal process. And in consultation with our judges, staff, we believe that an administrative process gets to the point. We eliminate having to burden our court system. This allows for swifter action in every capacity. And I would add that it does not prohibit or dismiss violations of our standing ordinance. For example, noise and the like, those are still enforceable on a regular basis.
And those have nothing to do with short-term rentals. That's every neighborhood is subject.
Right. So what we're talking about and what we want to limit our ordinance to is short-term rentals. And what can we do to expedite the process and make it more significant? I would also add, one of the things that we've considered is this permit revocation. It has more serious effects than a one-year provision, because as you recall, we do have a cap. And situations could arise where a permit is revoked, and during that time period, our cap is reached, and so it has longer lasting consequences than perhaps a year. And we felt that moving to the rolling year basis was a better idea than the calendar year, sort of, because then sort of you just go from time period to time period, and you could have theoretically three violations or warnings in a three-month period, but they'd be split over two calendar years, and that tends to go outside the scope and purpose of what we're trying to accomplish.
Okay. Ms. Paglarini, do you feel that what these revisions that we're looking at are equally protective of the town at large and those who hold these permits?
Yes, sir. I think really the consultation with our judges was so important to understand their perspective when they get a case and what they have the ability to do. There are a number of restrictions they are faced with from our Supreme Court, and our Chief Justice judges here can better explain those. But in order to enforce these monetary violations, it can be very difficult for our court system. And I think this brings more clarity to our permit holders. I think it makes it, for those who are going to comply, I would believe that they would appreciate these changes because it clarifies our process.
Okay. Judge, you're here. Would you like to, you have anything you think we ought to hear?
I just agree with them. It clarifies it. It makes it easier.
Okay. So from the dispensation of justice, We are getting better if we make these changes rather than worse.
Yes, I would just say that because the Supreme Court limits us on notice and being able to impose a fine, we can impose fines, but we'll have no way to enforce it based on the current statute.
Okay.
I agree that you have the noise ordinance violation, nuisance, all those violations that are already in place that can be written for those people there. So I think this will help.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Yes, sir.
I guess the question I have, which is one of the concerns, is you know, it looks good, but then who is really determining whether a violation or an offense is warrants an official warning? Or if that, I mean, is it just a neighbor calling in a complaint? Because some neighbors are more picky than other neighbors, and so I don't, who's actually making that determination?
Yes, sir, and that is the staff. That's ultimately, and I don't want to get too far ahead, but we are making adjustments in our operating procedures with our departments. But that will be an enforcement issue, and it will be determined by staff. And what we believe is that will eliminate a lot of the sort of imbalance. The chief request that we get is call the police, do something with the police. And that can still be accomplished, But from this standpoint, it makes it a more fair and equitable system. Further, there is a right to appeal. One of the things I believe we're obligated to supply is an appeal to this, and that goes through the Board of Zoning Appeals. So for the permit holders, we believe it'll be a fair system for all involved.
So I guess what I'm saying is, if they get a, if a short-term rental gets a complaint about noise, and maybe the police show up, maybe they don't, but then who, if no one shows up and actually physically hears the noise, yeah. And they can't, the people just be like, well, we really weren't loud.
We tend to work closely with police. So one of the mechanisms that we've devised is a way to get their reports. And we would agree, somebody saying there was noise, but nobody hearing it. No, you know, our enforcement officer is not necessarily there. So we would be looking to some evidence that something occurred. And then if it's police that visited for noise or disruptions or other things, then we would rely on that. So we'd have to be very careful about not making judgments saying just because we received a complaint, automatically it
Right. It rose to the issue of an actual violation. Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Well, and I think that's part of what you were saying here was to properly define what would constitute an offense, because, you know, if someone, I mean, I walk my dog in my neighborhood and my dog will walk on people's lawns as I'm walking my dog through the neighborhood. And technically, is that trespass? Can, I mean, everybody walks their dogs through the neighborhood. And so I think that there are some situations where people are complaining about very minor things that don't have a huge impact. And there's a very big difference between someone's dog walking on the lawn or leaving a trash can out one extra day versus an enormous party that has cars filling the neighborhood that is a noise violation or just, you know, creates a disruption in the enjoyment of their property. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that we can look at in the planning committee more deeply to really define what would be an offense justifying a warning letter. And I think the important component of number two, based on a valid complaint corroborated by a police report, is an important component of that. So that someone's not going to get their STR license revoked because a neighbor calls about a dog or taking a dump on their lawn twice, right. You know.
In the case that I was familiar with, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? It seems, and I don't know all the details, it seems that the owner of the short-term rental took immediate action and did the right thing. The violation was the renter. And I guess there's allowances and all this where when the owner finds out and says, no, I'm not having that, the word I got from someone, I think was the person that called the town, was the owner said, I am ending this rental now and you're out because this is not acceptable. That to me is a compliant owner who should not pay the price for a law-breaking tenant, right?
Yes, sir. And I think one of the things that at least we thought through that we can vet through the planning commission and the committee process is a cure, mm-hmm. meaning if there is a curable situation, that may not result in a warning. And so those are things we thought through. I will say to Mr. Rambo's point, I mean, enforcement is always a challenge given the uniqueness of each circumstance and mm-hmm. our physical availability to provide people to the scene. I don't want to speak for Chief Ritchie, but I would imagine that investigating some small situation, as Ms. Whitley said, is probably not a best use of our police department, given always limited resources. But at least we can create a definable set of circumstances to what should be fairly applied, and everybody knows the rules going in.
Right. Do you need action for, are you trying to be recognized?
Well, I was just going to say, for a noise violation, I mean, who's really responsible? The property owner or the people making the noise? I mean, who do you write the ticket to? And we do need to, I feel like the property owners should be held responsible for not following the short-term rental rules. I mean, they really can't control how much noise somebody makes. You don't know, these are strangers that you rent to, and it's a pretty steep penalty to lose your short-term rental license over mm-hmm. people that showed up and did something that you didn't personally do or plan, you know. Mm-hmm. So we do need to define it, I guess.
what is needed from this committee at this point? I know your committee's got work to do.
We've got one more piece that we wanted to share with you, Mayor, but, and then we'll tell you what next step would be.
Sounds good.
This is the issue of, and we talked about this one before, trying to track down people that have not even attempted to apply for a permit. I believe staff now has pretty much notified everybody that we know that's out there at least 3 times. And they just scoff at the requirement to come into compliance. And so these folks aren't taking these warnings seriously. And so we would be working on this aspect as well. We talked last time about sort of getting this program up and running. We would let that go and we would operate within this calendar year. So for 1 year, we've been doing our darndest to get in touch with folks and bring them into compliance. Starting January 1, 2021, after 1 year, we would move to lower the boom, if you will, and move and deal with these folks where we would be able to issue citations, no more, you know, holding their hand, coddling them along the way. And we would notify everybody. But I mean, the property owner is ultimately responsible for that. I mean, we know and have access to that information from tax records and those kinds of things. And then we would be able to withhold or revoke a business license. And David has suggested that we also look at a couple of other things. There may be the ability to attach lien to the property for failure to comply. One other aspect that we look at, we do it with construction. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's doing something illegally and they're built, I mean, our building inspectors, for instance, we can go and issue a stop work order because they're doing construction work. We might be able to model that, and the statute give a code enforcement officer the ability to stop work. In effect, this would be stop renting, and so we might be able to put notices or other things right there on the property. So if you were to show up and see a notice, you might be inclined not to rent from that person, or at least the second time. And then again, operating without a permit would not allow somebody to gain a permit for a 1 year period from that citation. So we got to be working on those under the system. And I think you all have said it, most people want to do the right thing. So we have few and far between circumstances where we really have to get involved. And then we would be, you know, picking up the pace starting January 1 on these folks that haven't received a permit. And what we would do next is we would put all of this together. So these changes, we talk in planning committee about a cap or numerical changes. We've told you that staff has a number of other provisions that we would like to clarify and clean up. We would put all those together in ordinance language and take that through the process where planning commission could hold a public hearing on it at their meeting in December. Okay. And then we would move through the formal adoption process with council after that.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. If people just ignore the citation, so they're getting a citation every 3 week, every other weekend because they're renting this property out, and they just, does a citation include a fine? Is it just, it does include a fine? And if they just ignore it, what remedy does the town have to enforce? I guess that's, you know, that's what I'm wondering. I think that putting a lien on the property is a huge step, a huge thing that would impact someone, a property owner, greatly. But it seems a little bit beyond what I imagined for this ordinance to do. And then public notification, what if they just take it and throw it in the trash? You know, you post a sign, they take it and throw it in the trash. So how do we enforce, or how do we get, like, what's the mechanism to actually get them to stop doing the behavior we want them to stop doing?
Well, yes, ma'am. I think that's the idea behind the lien. If we have fines that are not paid or thrown in the trash, we have a mechanism to actually lien the property, which is really the only way. And again, our judges provided us valuable information in that respect. That was one of the suggestions that came out of that meeting. So it may be not what Planning Commission, Committee, and Council want, but we'd like to at least explore the discussions. So that we at least we can have some piece of finality And I say finality, lien is not final. There's a lengthy legal process that you need to go through. And I think one of the things for all of our boards, commissions, and council need to consider is the possible expense of that. Nevertheless, having that as a last resort may very well be something to consider.
Okay. And technically, under the zoning or violations are, I mean, they continue for each and every, I mean, we can, you know, we could issue citation after citation so that the monetary amount could be quite significant, but it would take considerable time to get, you know, through the process and into the system to get something like that to happen. But it's not necessarily just a sort of a one-time shot.
And is there any, I'm sorry, is that, is there any way, like if someone accumulates multiple citations where that converts into, I mean, I don't know, I don't want to say criminal, but like, I mean, is there a point? No, it doesn't, right? Like, I mean, so I could accumulate thousands of dollars in citations and just ignore them.
Right.
And Chief Ritchie's not going to show up on my doorstep and say, come in and pay these fines, right? That's not how it works.
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
Very briefly, the Supreme Court won't allow us to do that. There's a whole notice issue, fundamental right to representation. That's the whole problem that we saw when these, if these were to come before us as municipal judges, that we would have no way of enforcing the penalty. For example, if somebody is cited for shoplifting and they're not arrested and they don't show up for court, if we don't have them sign a Ferretta, which is their warning for representation and court-appointed representation, we cannot incarcerate them. We cannot issue a bench warrant for their arrest. We cannot do it. And so that was the real worry, is that the court would then subject to somebody being arrested for failure to pay a fine, which we would not have the authority to do, that would then put the town in an even worse position.
Okay. Ms. Rambo, were you?
Yes. And I would say the lien issue, I mean, I think that's the same avenue that, like, HOAs use. I mean, it's the only avenue they have if you don't. Otherwise, no one will pay their their dues.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a question, Mr. Pagliarini. I know short-term rental regulations are new-ish across the state. Do you know of any cases where they're being challenged in court, or any that are working through the court systems, or we still really don't have a lot of guidance on that?
No, sir. Precious little guidance. And I know Mr. Ulm and I attended a seminar last year that was nationwide about these issues, and what we are dealing with is right along with what every other jurisdiction. There are precious few cases, precious little guidance with these, but you know, as our chief judge mentioned, our objective, I think, in order to minimize those risks, to maximize the efficiency and minimize the risks, are to keep them out of the court process as much as possible. We think that that is the correct recipe for appropriate enforcement and passing, but we are not aware at this point of any rulings that have struck down all or apart. There have, I believe, and Jeff may recollect as well, we saw some towns and cities, of course, are saying not at all. That's one thing, and those are more likely to be challenged first. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
And the numbers in those other cities are staggering.
Yeah.
I mean, the number of short-term rentals.
San Francisco was like something, over half of the available units in their downtown area were being rent out, essentially.
Mm-hmm. New Orleans had over, a couple of years ago, over 4,000 short-term rentals, and they had a staff of 11 working on that issue alone.
Okay.
We don't have Mardi Gras, so I mean, we're a little bit.
And when we planned our communities, we had residential areas for people to reside, and we had zoning and all for commercial, you know, hospitality industry. And now those lines have been blurred by this new thing. Mm-hmm. So it's something to think about, not just from operating, but from a planning and community standpoint. I know from my own neighborhood, the most affordable, we're townhouses, the most affordable ones get snatched up
very fast, and before you know it, they're short-term rentals, or were. I don't know where we are in the, have we reached our permit limit for the year yet? I don't think we had last time we heard.
No.
Yeah.
We're getting close, though, okay. And there are a number in the process.
Okay.
And we mentioned before, as we come forward, the planning committee talked about changing the percentage, 1% of our total number of dwelling units, which would then continue to rise to a fixed number, I believe, of 350. And when we move through this next phase in this adoption process, we'll be able to keep you posted and let you know where we are in terms of that.
Okay.
We may exceed that 350 number naturally before anything gets changed, and okay. You would need to know that when setting the number.
Thank you. I don't know, Mr. Pagliarini, that you need a motion or just a, sort of a consensus that drafting in this direction is moving the way we had intended. I think I'm hearing that from the committee.
Yes, sir. That's all we need, okay. And this will be presented again at our planning committee meeting. And then, as Mr. Alma said, we'll move forward with the public hearing in December.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Item 7 is executive session for two reasons mentioned there. One is to discuss applications for the two municipal judge positions, and B is executive session to receive legal advice regarding executive orders from the governor. Is there a motion that we go into executive session for those reasons stated?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Before we have any discussion or the vote, the committee may take action on any item, including any subsection of any section listed on an executive session agenda or discussed in an executive session during a properly noticed meeting. All in favor of entering executive session for the two reasons published and stated, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are in executive session. Thank you. We have reconvened from executive session. No votes were cast. No actions were taken. There being no motions to result from those, from the information we received, hearing none, the next item is to adjourn. So this committee stands adjourned.
Thank you.